Hey, JT.
Hold on to my butt, really?
It's a Samuel Jackson reference.
I'll give you that. It is certainly a Samuel L. Jackson reference.
I mean, like, it's one of the few things I'm like, that this one guy I know just keeps saying. So yeah. It's one of those things that sticks to you and you try and wipe it off your shirt. That's like, it won't come off.
So like Samuel L. Jackson.
Pretty much. Hello everyone and welcome to CommanderCast episode 158. We're your weekly source for community strategy and technology, hosted on mtgcast.com and our home site, CommanderCast.com. We're recording this on July 24th, 2014. My name's William, I'm the host of the show, and today, it's not our usual show. Usually we bring you the community, the strategy, and the technology. You know, our trifecta pillars founded by the almighty Andy, pulling out for our Canadian host, founder, person, guy. But, you know, storms and life happens. And Cassie from General Damage Control actually had to... Well, let's just say that he's taking care of his family right now to deal with the storms issue. So, I've got JT here with me. Hey, JT.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. So, it's just going to be the two of us today, and we were scheduled to talk about the Super Friends deck, run over a little primer about that, but I don't necessarily play the Super Friends deck myself. I've seen some play. I've played against it plenty of times, and let me tell you, it can be super annoying once we get there, but... Well, just the two of us talking about it's not going to make for a great show. So we're going to try something a little different this week. This week, I've got JT on to talk about his Edric deck for the first part of the show. For our second part of the show, we'll be actually on the fly live brewing a Marchesa the Black Rose deck. And if we still need some padding time, then we'll find some other third thing to fill out the episode. Sound like a plan, JT?
That sounds wonderful. That sounds incredible. I can't think of a better way for me to use my evening than to be here with you.
Yep. I mean, I could be packing up to move because I'm moving tomorrow, but...
No, come on.
Yeah.
Priorities, man. You have to do a magic podcast here.
Exactly. maybe I should have just recorded a fourth of those casts. Oh, well. So, we're recording this on July 24th, 2014, like I said, which means that as far as news goes, there's not a whole lot. We're getting the magic panel on Saturday, which, for you, the listeners, has already transpired, and your mind has already been blown by all the amazing previews and stuff about Khanza Tarkir and maybe a Epic Commander product, and just a bunch of really fun stuff that JT and I actually have to wait 2 days to see.
Yep.
I mean, what is that?
It's called time, and unfortunately, it is no man's plaything. Unless you're a blue player, in which case you just cast Time Stretch over and over.
Ugh. Time can't tell me what to do. Where the hell's the TARDIS? Calvin! Bring up our TARDIS! Alright, so we will start the... like I said, this isn't going to be our normal show with our community strategy and technology segments.
No.
And as for our usual question, the favorite commander of the week, well, JT's going to be talking about his Edric deck anyway, so I guess...
Well, Edric isn't my favorite commander this week.
Okay, then tell us who your favorite commander is this week, Anonymous Iguana.
What? Is there a commander named Anonymous Iguana?
No, but the Google Docs registering you as Anonymous Iguana.
Oh, good. You look like a pirate skull with swords behind it.
That would be my avatar.
Oh, good. All right, let's see. Favorite commander of this week, I am going to have to go with... Azami, Lady of Scrolls.
Ooh, that's an interesting one, sir.
Azami, Lady of Scrolls, she's actually a deck I just built yesterday. And I got to play test her a couple of times, and I lost all three games. So, I think that there's work that needs to be done, but I am loving every moment of it so far.
So, are you just going with the control or the combo zombie? Or just the random wizard tribal zombie?
Neither. Or yeah, it's just wizard tribal.
Okay.
Honestly, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
the whole reason I made the deck is because I had a copy of Azami sitting around. Kamigawa was my favorite set. And I was like, eh, I like drawing cards. So I threw together a deck, but I very quickly realized that it's extremely easy to go infinite or to just combo out and win the game with that deck. So I decided to put a silly stipulation on myself that I refuse to play combos, and I think I run one strict counterspell, which is that Sage's Dowsing that says if you control a wizard, draw a card. Other than that, the only counterspells in the deck are, like, you know, tap this wizard to counter a spell, like Urtai. So I'm not a big control player. I don't really care about counterspells that much. The one combo-ish thing I have in the deck is Tunnel Vision, which I typically cast on myself, and then I use a Laboratory Maniac.
Alright, that sounds legit.
Because that's fun. And it's fun, it's funny, and it has holes all over it. Because the one thing I hate are infinite combos that are just, you know, I instantly win the game and there's nothing you can do about it. It's like, I have a stupid Laboratory Maniac out. There's many things you can do about that. So.
Alright, actually, did you see the Star City Versus video? The zombie versus Azusa?
I did not.
Spoiler alert, once a zombie hits the board, it's just over. The Azusa deck can't keep up with that gas.
Yeah, it's Azusa. I've seen Azusa be really brutal, but Azusa requires, I think, more time than Azami.
Yeah, because Azusa can just drop their entire hand, but if they don't have a way to refill it, then they're running on empty for the entire match, whereas Azami just keeps drawing cards.
Yep.
It was to the point where, I don't want to ruin the first game, but sure. He was tapping Azami and other wizards to draw cards, and the guy was like, in response, I block. Just ran stuff, because they both know where that match is going. There's just no way the Azami loses that matchup.
Sure.
Okay, so our first thing today, we're actually going to be talking about JT's Edric deck, which is also featured on Uri's CMDR decks.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it last time JT was on, actually for last season. So, JT, go ahead and talk about where the inspiration of the deck came from. Edric's known for having a lot of really small weenie guys, having a lot of counter spells, and just getting all the gas in the swarm. What do you go with?
Edric was the result of a search on MagicCards.info that told me that he was one of only three playable choices in the colors that I wanted to play. The original point of the deck, and I talk about my first deck a little bit in my first article that I wrote for CommanderCast.com, which is For Fun's Sake, it's called, which hopefully will be posted sometime here in the near future, possibly before this episode goes up, but if not, it'll be there shortly. Anyway, the very first Commander deck I built was Send Triplets. And Send Triplets I put together based on the ability to just play good artifacts and really not do anything else. So it was good stuff artifacts. I took the Archenemy deck, they made an Esper-colored Archenemy deck, and I just bought one of those separately, took most of the cards and put them into my Sun Triplets deck, and then just kind of padded it out with some other good stuff cards, and in my playgroup, I was unstoppable. Sun Triplets was indestructible. You know, just very, very good. My playgroup got sick of it. I kind of got sick of it because nobody was having fun at the table. You know, not even me. Not even sitting down and winning, and I love winning. So my next mission at that point was to build a deck with the silliest, stupidest stipulations I could possibly put on it, which was, I want to play a deck that only plays lands and draws cards. I don't care about anything else. I just want to play lands and draw cards. So, looking at that, you know, playing land is a green thing, drawing cards is a blue thing. So I looked up green-blue commanders at the time, and honestly, I don't even know if they've printed another one since then. There might still only be three. Momir, Vig, Experiment, Kraj, and Edric.
Wait, as of right now?
Yeah.
You're pulling my leg.
Have they printed another green-blue commander yet?
They've printed three more.
I forget who they were. Never mind, I got it. Yeah, alright. I forgot about Return to Ravnica for a second.
Yes.
Okay,
and then there's also Theros with Krufix.
Yes, alright. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that anyway, I'm an idiot. Forgive me. So Edric was the most reasonable choice of those three. I decided to go with him, not because of comboing, or because of putting out a ton of tokens, or because of playing control, or because of him being banned in French 1v1, what is even that format. It was just because he, to me, looked like a don't attack me shield, which I was okay with. I'll play a commander that says, hey, I'll put this guy in the battlefield and you have incentive to attack my opponents instead of me. As I built the deck, I realized that my hand size was going to get huge, so I decided to put in a whole bunch of cards that said you have no maximum hand size, which led to the inspiration for the name of the deck. My hands are huge. They can touch everything but themselves. And at that point, I then realized, I was like, well, this is good and all, but I can't actually really do anything but play lands and draw cards. I guess I'll do one other thing to actually maybe have a chance of winning the game. And that was, I put in creatures that have the text, this creature's power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your hand.
So you put in a lot of Maros.
A whole bunch of Maros, yep. And actually Kamigawa was rife with Maros. So I got quite a few from that set. There have been a few that have been printed since then that have been really nice. Psychosis Crawler is a very, very friendly card. The deck really just came together as, it runs a little bit of group hug as well. I have draw and land fetch effects that affect everybody. Your Howling Mine, your Font of Mythos, Dictate of Krufix now at this point. And really, that's, you know, the rest is history. This is how this deck came to be. It came to be by me saying, this is what I want to do. I have a very limited vision of what I want to do. But in doing so, I was able to craft a deck that meant something to me. It wasn't a deck that was stuffed with the best good stuff cards I could get. I have some cards in this deck that are absolute ass, you know? Hmm. I'm running Spontaneous Generation. Who runs that? Put a 1/1 green Sapperling token into play for each card in your hand. He's the only thing in this deck that somewhat synergizes with Edric.
Actually, you know, this is slightly off, but you mentioned that Kamigawa has a number of those Maru abilities. Yeah. And this is actually the first time that I've noticed that there's a first to X cycle here. Like, I think you're running Musumaru and Soramaru, right?
I have Masumaru, I have Soramaru, yes, sir.
Oh, they have Maru in their name, too.
Yes, they do.
Kiyomaru, Kagumaru. I never noticed that.
Yep, there's a white Maru, actually. I'd run him if I was running white, but...
Yeah, Kiyomaru, first to stand.
Yep, he's pretty cool.
Okay, so how did your deck... How was it received when you first started playing it? What did everyone else think of that?
Oh, they loved it! Are you kidding? It's a group hug deck. It's... This is part of, you know, part of my point with, and if you want to know more, go read the article. You know, part of my point with fun, I think that there's an underlying element of fun that everyone should respect at a table when you sit down. If everyone sits down with hyper-competitive decks, unless you're playing a hyper-competitive playgroup who really enjoy, you know, kicking each other in the balls repeatedly, then you're going to have people there that won't have fun. If you go to a local game store or some casual place, people will not have fun. Edric is the type of deck I sit down with, and if I manage to win by some miracle, everyone is sitting around in awe, like, you sat there for turns and turns doing nothing but giving us cards. How are you doing this? And that's fun. It's a fun feeling to be able to just throw down some ridiculous win, you know, swinging at somebody with a... Where are you? Overbeing of Myth. Come on. Overbeing of Myth is an idiot. He doesn't belong in any commander deck, but he wins me games in this one. Well, people are just, they're happy. They're happy to actually lose to something that's creative. And they're happy when they beat me, which, you know, I lose a considerable amount of games with this, too.
So Overbeing of Myth, for those who might not know, is one of those, it was a Paragon, I think?
I think they're all avatars. I can't remember name of the cycle.
Avatars. Yeah, I think it was like a Paragon. I think they called it the Paragon cycle, something like that. But they all cost 5. But that cost was a hybrid of that color combination. So Overbeing of Myth is naturally 5 hybrid Simics.
Yep.
Has the Mar ability, and at the beginning of your draw step, draw a card. So Overbeing of Myth, yeah, really big stupid card that draws you a card every turn if it lives that long.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are your big 3 for the deck? Like, what are just the go-to cards here?
Big 3? Well, let's see. The... 1 or 2 pseudo combos that end up winning me the game. And again, I'm not a big combo player, but when this goes off, I'm typically going to win somehow. I'm kind of paging through my cards here because I can't remember everything off the top of my head. Number one, first and foremost, is Sasaya Orochi Ascendant. Right. And Sasaya Orochi Ascendant, for those who do not know, is a 2/3 legendary creature snake monk. She costs 3. It's 1 colorless and 2 green. And her ability says, reveal your hand, : if you have 7 or more land cards in your hand, flip Sasaya Orochi Ascendant. And she turns into Sasaya's Essence, which is a legendary enchantment that says, whenever a land you control is tapped for mana, add one mana of that type to your mana pool for each other land you control with the same name. So, my hand is stupidly big. I'll have 20, 25 cards in hand for no reason. I play Sasaya, and then I reveal my hand. If somebody attempts to respond to it with a Doomblade, I respond by revealing my hand, because that's the, you know, activation cost of this ability. She flips and turns into an enchantment that causes my 6 forests to each tap for 6 green mana apiece, or my 8 islands to each tap for 8 blue mana apiece. That's a bomb. That's a card that, you know, if I'm not winning the game that turn or the next turn, I've done something horribly wrong. With that amount of mana, I'll typically draw out the rest of my deck, or close to it, and play a whole bunch of creatures who have the effect of, you know, power and toughness equal to the number of cards in my hand, and then I'll play something like a Concordant Crossroads.
Concordant Crossroads being the old-school world enchantment.
Yep, all creatures have haste. I did have a, the Sarah's statue. What was that thing called?
Chroma's Memorial?
Oh, yeah, Chroma, that's the one. Jeez, I'm really bad at this game. I did have a Chroma's Memorial in this deck, but I only have one copy of it, and I decided to stick it in my Kozilek Butcher of Truth deck.
As a side note, Chroma's Memorial up to $10.28 on the mid price of TCG Player. Wow, and that was a recent reprinting too. Like
that was
just M3. a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I'm really cheap when it comes to cards. I mean, I know I just said I have a Kozilek deck. I got that card back when it was worth like $10, and even that's pushing it for me.
Yeah, I've got to decide whether I actually want to commit and move the Eldrazi from my Damia deck to their own deck now.
No.
Sometimes they just got to break free. And sometimes they just need an elf's help.
Wild and free. So, other cards. Rude Awakening can win me games.
Oh, yeah, Rude Awakening. That's one that's pretty big in a lot of land attack decks.
Rude Awakening's fun. Boundless Realms is fun, but, I mean, once I have that much mana, I'm typically swinging in for the win the next turn. And I lost it. Where did you go? You stupid, stupid card. Ugh. The green sorcery that lets you pick up your graveyard and then you have no max hand size for the rest of the game.
Praetor's Council?
That's the one. Praetor's Council's awfully nice.
Yeah, Praetor's Council often said to be a green staple for most decks. Do you agree with that sentiment?
What type of green deck are you playing? I guess, I mean, if you're playing big, stupid, stompy creatures, I could see that. Like a mono green, of course, I could see it. But if you're playing multicolor, you don't necessarily have to have it. And it really depends on your meta as well. How much graveyard hate are you looking at?
Yeah, it really does feel like it's justified as a super regrowth for a lot of decks that don't have that recursion.
Yeah. Yeah, pull your cards back and use them a second time. Well, or you could just ultimate with Tamiyo, I guess.
Okay, so as an aside, do you have this deck list online anywhere else outside the CMDR Dex video?
So the CMDR Dex video is very outdated. There are quite a few cards that I've removed and replaced. One thing I did do is I went a little bit more Planeswalker heavy with this one. I'm running Old School Jace, because he is a group hug card. I have Tamiyo, I have Kiora the Crashing Wave, and I have Garruk Primal Hunter. I think that's it. But, I mean, I think I might have had one of those Planeswalkers in the deck when I put that video up, if I recall. So, I do not have a mod. I'll put one up tonight and we'll put it in the show notes, so it'll be up before the video even goes live. The audio goes live. This is not a video.
It might be someday if we actually get that kind of support. So, brain exercise, which are the top three cards that you would consider swapping out if something better came along?
So which three cards would I be least resistant to getting rid of?
Yes.
Well, there are some cards that are a little bit fringe that I don't necessarily always get a whole lot of use out of. I don't know, Devastation Tide, maybe. Devastation Tide or Evacuation. I mean, the nice thing about those is they blow up tokens, and I can usually play my stuff faster than everyone else can. So, I'm not heartbroken if I return all my creatures to my hand, or all permanents to my hand, because I'll usually just have them all out a turn or two later. I run Distorting Wake. That's kind of fun, I guess. But that's X blue, 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 return X target non-land permanents to their owner's hands.
So, a deck that features a lot of bounce as these wrath effects.
Yeah.
Those actually seem like those would be really hard to justify taking out.
If I was going to take anything out, it'd probably be Capsize. Capsize is, even for a deck like this, a little too expensive, and I usually find myself wanting to do other things besides Capsize.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because I play the green-blue my green-blue deck is what I call the cure deck, because it's just ramp out and play big stupid sea monsters and stuff. 6 mana is still a lot, even for that deck. I mean, it might not seem like it when the Prophet of Kruphix hits the field and I've got 12, 14 lands out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still a whole spell, it's just to bounce a permanent.
Right. And I don't run Prophet of Kruphix or Seaborn Muse, so once I'm done with my turn, I'm kind of spent. One thing I did do with this deck, and consider me nostalgic for turning it back, I had originally, like you said, those new blue-green commanders that were printed, I had originally switched out Edric as the commander for Prime Speaker Zagana, because Prime Speaker Zagana is kind of hilarious. When you have a creature with power and toughness equal to the number of cards in your hand, she says, draw X cards where X is your hand size, so you just double your hand when she comes out.
Prime Speaker Zagana?
Okay, Prime Speaker Zagana comes in with X plus one counters, where X is the greatest power among other creatures you control. So if I have a creature in play that has power and toughness equal to the number of cards in my hand, I just draw that many cards.
Okay, Prime Speaker plus Maro equals double your hand size.
Yes. So that was fun. But then Kruphix came along, who has You Have No Maximum Hand Size printed in his text box. So I was like, shit, I think I need to change my commander because this deck is called My Hands Are Huge. But ultimately, nostalgia got the best of me. I did fit both Kruphix and Zagana in the deck, but Edric is still the commander because he's just awesome.
Okay, so what has been your opinion on Kruphix as a general in just kind of a overall sense?
He's a lame omnath. I don't know.
Okay, so you really need to be, you really need to have a use for all that access mana in a way to just kind of accumulate it quickly.
Yeah, and green and blue really aren't the colors for that. I mean, you have stuff like Genesis Wave and draw X cards, but it's like if you're running that much mana, you really want red or black. Hell, hitting, what is that, Tendrils of Agony? Is that the one for X, or does that all have to be black mana?
Well, let's see.
I can't remember. I always mix up my cards. There are black X spells.
Tendrils of Agony is the storm one.
Okay. That's not the one. Exsanguinate?
Yeah, there we go.
That's nice. Debt to the Deathless if you're running white and black for some reason. That's fun. Any of the numerous deal X damage to each creature and each player effects in red? No. You have better uses for that mana than those colors. In my opinion. I guess, being able to shoot out a whole bunch of stuff is fun, but at the end of the day, it's just colorless mana that's going to ramp you up to a couple extra creatures.
Yeah, I find that with my typical playstyle, I tend to do a lot of tapping out on my turn anyhow.
Yeah.
There is the argument, though, that it does leave mana open. It does give you a way to kind of cantrip your mana if you end up you pass your turn, and you're keeping up counterspell magic, but no one actually does anything.
Sure.
So in a way, that does seem justified.
Yeah, is that worth running him as your commander, as opposed to all of the other commanders you could be running?
As your commander, no. I feel like he's much better as just the other 99.
He's a good part of the deck. I actually have a, my Bant deck. Treva, the Renewer. It's, enchantment-heavy deck, and I'm running all 6 of the enchantment gods that land in those colors, so I have a copy of Kruphix in that deck, too, and in there, he's okay, because in an enchantment deck with big splashy enchantments, I do find myself with turns where I don't have enough things to do with my mana, so I'll just float it.
Alright, so is he good as just an indestructible reliquary tower?
Yes. Don't ask me if I should keep Nomax hand size things in this deck. I had a really hard time cutting Spellbook. That was one of the hardest cuts I've made in this deck.
Really? So, in addition to the Spellbook, what other tough cuts have you had to make for this deck as better things just came out?
I don't know. What's that creature that says you have no max hand size? It's like a blue wizard from Kamigawa?
Graceful Adept.
Yeah, sure, that's the one. She was tough, but that was, again, mostly nostalgia for the fact that she said no maximum hand size.
Actually, tough. She and Kruphix are the only two creatures that grant no maximum hand size.
Yes, they are the only creatures. There's very few spells, too. I mean, if you search You Have No Maximum Hand Size, you're going to get around 10, maybe less.
Yep. If you got Enter the Infinite, Graceful Adept, Kruphix, Library of Leng,
yep.
Praetor's Council, Reliquary Tower, Spellbook, Tamiyo's Emblem, and Venser's Journal. That's it.
Yep. And of those, I have cut 3 of them. which I've had at some point.
Which three?
Spellbook, Graceful Adept, and Library of Lang.
Ah, okay.
Library of Lang was a tough one, just because I don't want to go too low on this, but at the same time, I do have, I have Talarian Academy in here in case I really need to hit my Reliquary Tower. I have an indestructible enchantment creature now that has the ability on its body, so I guess it's not too bad anymore. And then at the end of the day, if I really have to pitch a whole bunch of cards in my hand, it's not a huge deal because I'll probably end up getting that Praetor's Council anyway.
Okay, so the deck draws well, it ramps well. What are the things does Edric do very well?
He puts a smile on a small child's face. You can see a glint in their eyes as you pass them on the street. let's see. Big creatures, lots of land, lots of draw. It, honestly, and not to sound cheesy, it really does just make people happy. It's an interesting thing. I think maybe it's because I'm so happy with the deck, and just overall, I'm a very happy person. So I love to make people laugh, I love to make people smile and have fun. So when I sit down with Edric, it's never because I'm like, I just lost my third game of Commander in a row and I need to win a game. Edric on the table, you know, that's not what happens. I play Edric because I'm like, hey, I just lost three games of Commander. I don't really give a shit. Let's play Edric because at least then other people will be drawing cards and getting land and having fun. You know, I had a game just this last weekend. No, I was out of the country last weekend. The last weekend that I played Commander, I had a game I sat down with everyone at the table, and there was a guy who was sitting across from me playing a Purphoros deck. And it was a fun deck, like his Purphoros deck was pretty good, but he got mana screwed right out of the gate. And so he's sitting there for the first three or four turns, he's like, he's just, you know, got one mountain on the field, and he's just getting depressed. And everyone else is going and going, he's like, this sucks. And I look at him, I'm like, don't worry, bro, I got you. And then on the next, I think it was turn four, maybe, I play a Collective Voyage. It's like, Collective Voyage gets everyone a whole bunch of land, and he instantly snapped his mountain into that, of course. I think everyone ended up searching up like six basic lands. And it immediately got him into the game. It put me ahead, it put the other people ahead, but it got him into the game and he could actually do things. You know? That's what playing Commander is kind of about. Playing a Commander isn't just mercilessly destroying the people sitting across from you so that you can add a notch to your bedpost. It's like, it's playing to have fun. It's playing to do things that are silly and you don't see every day. It's playing to play a Commander that people just play combos with all the time and got banned in 1v1 French and playing a really dumb deck idea and having fun.
Alright, so what would you say are the biggest weaknesses that this deck has? Are there just certain kind of decks that it has trouble keeping up with, or what's going on here?
I don't think it has trouble keeping up with any decks, but it can certainly get hated. I mean, if I am getting set back by, like, somebody focus firing down, like, maybe my doubling cube, or knocking out my planeswalkers if they manage to hit the field, or doing whatever. I mean, it is pretty easy to shut this deck down because it relies on big fatty creatures. And I've got my Swiftfoot Boots, I've got my Hexproof, whatever, Lightning Greaves, and I've got my Asceticism in here, but all the same, my creatures die more often than they swing. So, I mean, it's reliant, it does what it does it effectively, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm winning the game. Getting my graveyard exiled in response to me casting a Praetor's Council, that kind of sucks. I don't know. I've played one game ever where somebody actually mass LD'd, and in that game I was out. Because I think I had just cast Boundless Realm, so it was like, okay, I have three land left in my deck, I guess I'm sitting out the rest of this game.
Okay, so because the deck has the potential to draw a lot of gas, it's very resilient.
Yeah, I think so, and I run exactly one counterspell in this deck. I don't need counterspells. I don't like counterspells, really, but I don't need them to do what I need to do. I just play out my stuff and have fun.
All right, then. I'm trying to think of what else I would like to discuss here. Okay, so what I'm going to have... Actually, something I would like you to go ahead and do is I would like you to shuffle up your deck and draw a hand, and we're going to go over the initial first hand impressions here.
Okay.
And what you look for in an opening hand with this kind of deck.
Sure. If our friends at home are listening closely, they can hear cards shuffling together. It'll make them start scratching their necks and exhibiting other symptoms of an addict. Just kidding, I'm the addict here. We're all addicts. And that's what makes us love this game. Okay. My Neon Cat Rainbow Pop-Tart Kitty sleeves are sufficiently shuffled.
The best kind. Second only to the Manipul sleeves brought to you by Chewy and the dorks at the Manipul.
Hell yeah. Alright. Opening hand is drawn, and this is one that I would keep in a heartbeat. So, let's go over for our friendly listeners at home. I have two forests. I have a reliquary tower. I have a Mosswort bridge, which I usually have a creature with power 10 or greater, so that very rarely doesn't work. I have a cyclonic rift. Unfortunately, no blue source, but I'll get one. I have an ivory tower. At the beginning of your upkeep, you gain X life, where X is the number of cards in your hand, -4. And I have Tempt with Discovery, which is one of our new Commander 2013 cards. Should I read that one, or do people at home know what it is?
Go ahead and read it. Just for the
It's a Tempting Offer. It costs 4 mana, 3 and a green. Sorcery. Tempting Offer. Search your library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. Each opponent may search his or her library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. For each opponent who searches a library this way, search your library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. Then each player who searched this way shuffles his or her library.
Alright, give me 1 second, JT, because Calvin is requesting to come in.
Whoa, Calvin!
So what's this I hear about no Planeswalker segment this week?
Well, Cassidy's connection to the Ethernet has been disengaged at this time.
Okay.
It's been compromised.
Ninjas?
Something like that. He's got to protect.
Gotcha.
He's a family man. He's got to protect his family, man.
It's understandable. Ninjas, I get it. Like, you know, if I knew that, like, a wild-roaming batch of Foot Clan assassins was after me, I would up and move, too.
He did mention something about having torches. I don't know if he meant, like, the European torches, as in flashlights, or medieval-style torches, as in he's trying to scare away a mob of foot soldiers.
I'm going with medieval-style.
Right, cool. This is why everyone should just move to Ohio. Nothing happens here except during election time.
That's exactly why everyone shouldn't move to Ohio, because nothing happens there.
Nothing happens there.
Alright, you all can have your big fancy San Diego cities that get torn up by Godzilla every other week. We'll just stay here and be like, wow, I am so happy our insurance is so low because nothing gets destroyed ever. That's not true.
Why do you have to lie to us?
See, the fucked up part about that is that after I use the truncate silence, that long pause we just did is going to totally vanish.
Curse you, truncated silence, the bane of my comedic timing.
Curse you, Deagleberg!
Is this all going in the recording?
It's in the new recording. So
is this actually going in the episode?
Maybe.
Oh, it will.
That's up to Calvin.
It will.
Good, thanks, Calvin.
All right, Calvin.
It'll probably be at the end of it, but it'll be there. I don't know. Depending on what the beginning of this sounds like, I might actually just leave it in the middle.
Alright, so what are you doing for the rest of the night, Calvin?
Right now, I'm sitting here with my Xbox 360 on and getting ready to play the new Duels of the Planeswalker game.
Ooh. What are the promos for that game?
Soul of Zendikar.
The Souls.
Soul of Zendikar for the Xbox version?
No, for the Xbox version, I got the crap one.
Ravnica?
Yeah.
Everyone knows what it is.
I haven't even taken the time to go pick it up yet.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, and the thing is, I've gone past that shop. Like, what was I downloaded this like last week on Thursday? So it's been about a week now, yeah. So it's been a week. I've gone past that shop at least 8 times. Never once did it occur to me to just stop in and pick up my Soul of Ravnica.
That's okay. It'll still be there tomorrow. And the next day. And the next
month. And the next day.
And the next month. He'll be there until Duels 2016 comes out.
I wonder how much I can get for it if I did happen to pick it up and like just chuck it somewhere, like on like eBay or something. I could probably get like $3 if that. No, that's the Soul of Zendikar. The original one is like $2 now at the moment. So this one's a foil promo, so yeah, I could probably get $3.
Is it actually foil?
Yeah. Usually the ones they give out the promos are usually foil.
No, not my Sarah avatar. She wasn't.
Oh yeah, that's right. She wasn't.
Oh, they must have changed that then.
Was it last year? Because I didn't get my promo card last year. Were they foil last year?
I didn't get more from last year. I know, what was it? I got when they first started doing it. The Xbox one was they had what was it? Garruk, I think it was.
Garruk, yeah.
And Garruk Wildspeaker, that was foil. It had like that nice little mythic rare symbol that looked like an Xbox controller in the corner, which I thought was kind of funny.
That was cool.
After that one. What was the next one after that? I think the next one was a promo. Then the one after that, I think, was like a pack. Was but it like started, a little mini booster pack or something?
Yeah,
like
they
that?
Gave you the promo and then like six junk cards, like commons and uncommons or something.
Yeah, and then last year I completely missed, and this year is Soul of Ravnica, so I haven't even taken time to even look at what it would be.
Well, on the plus side, if you forget to pick it up, you know, forever, you're really not going to be missing anything.
Yeah. But I will have to say I do like this Duels of the Planeswalker, though.
Okay, so, Calvin.
Yeah.
We were talking to JT about his Edric deck, the one called My Hands Are So Big they can Touch Everything But Themselves.
My hands are huge.
All right.
Okay, so JT, one more time, let's go ahead and go over what's in your hand for the sample mulligan.
Opening hand. Two forests, a reliquary tower, a mosswort bridge, cyclonic rift, ivory tower, and tempt with discovery.
Okay, so what in this hand has you saying, okay, this is a snap keep? Let's go over and analyze this.
Honestly, I think just seeing Reliquary Tower and at least like one or two other lands is enough to make me keep any hand in this deck.
Okay, so by virtue of being able to have the Collective Voyage to go ahead and pay lands for yourself, just to guarantee that you can get that blue source, and having the Reliquary Tower, that's enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
Alright, if you had to pitch back a card, which one seems like it's the weakest in this hand?
A single card? Probably just a forest? I don't know. The non-land cards I pulled are good enough to keep. Cyclonic Rift, Tempt with Discovery, and Ivory Tower. Ivory Tower is a turn one drop, and it's already gaining me at least a little bit of life, even if it's only a point or two to start off with. And Tempt with Discovery, once I hit turn four, if I haven't managed to accelerate before then, I will find my blue source at the very, very least.
All right, so go ahead, mulligan, take a fresh seven. We'll look at that hand, and then we'll start wrapping this up.
Mulligan and a fresh seven. Do I have to shuffle these back in? Damn it.
So here's a question. Since you are playing Edric, would you be willing to put in, what is it, the Skulker? Chaz Skulker, I think.
Chasm Skulker?
Chasm
Skulker? I have no idea what that is.
It's the new
squid
from
Squid Horror.
Yeah, the squid.
It's two colors. It's a blue. Whenever you draw a card, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, and when it dies, you get X11 squid creature tokens that enter the battlefield with Island Walk on it. Where
no,
X is
what?
The number of counters off of it.
I actually remember seeing that card, and that's somewhat interesting. I might actually be interested in that. It's
and now I feel like I've actually donated to the show.
Thank you. I remember seeing it when I was looking over, because that's M15, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, and I was like, hey, that would be okay.
Because, you know, you're playing Edric, you're going to be drawing a bunch of cards anyway when you do attack people. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like, you know, when you're playing with Edric, drawing cards is pretty much a guarantee.
Yeah.
And what was Edric's thing again? Whenever
a creature deals damage to one of my opponents, this controller draws a card.
Right.
So, well, you missed the part, Calvin, where we're talking about how unconventional my Edric deck is. I don't run tokens or other silly things like that. If I ran that squid, it would be the second card in this deck that generates tokens of any kind.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of have to jump through a hoop for it. You know, it's a 1/1 for three.
Yeah.
You have to deal combat damage or whatever, or draw cards for it to get bigger.
Yeah.
By the time it does get bigger, then your opponent has to willingly kill it, and if not, it just turns into like a beat stick.
Yeah, well, that's fine. It sounds like a fun addition.
It seems like it would be a nice way of like, you know, getting some tokens into the deck without it actually having to be token based. Or yeah. Token generated, or whatever the case may be.
I'm okay with that.
Rite of Replication.
I do not run Rite of Replication.
I love that card.
I drew my second...
I'm just saying it out of loud.
I drew my second hand.
Alright, so what's in your left fist, sir?
My left fist has three forests. It does have knuckles. I call it the Knuckle Duster. Three forests, an Alchemist's Refuge, which is colorless, and then green-blue tap. You may cast non-land cards this turn as though they had flash. It's a land. And then I have three cards that let me fish up land. I have Cultivate, I have Seek the Horizon, which is three basic lands to hand, and I have Boundless Realms. So, by turn, let's see, not accounting for any of the draws I make, by turn six, I will have 12 land? 13 land on the battlefield?
Wow.
I do that. No, I would have 14. And I'm absolutely okay with that. That's another keeper. I mean, one of the nice fun things about one of the nice happy things about this deck is the fact that, you know, I pitch very infrequently. I do run pretty light on the land side. I think I have 34. I think I'm running like 33 or 34, but with the amount of mana ramp I have, as long as I hit like 2 or 3, I'm usually gravy.
All right. So I can't think of a whole lot else that I really need to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's been JT's Edric. My hands are a huge deck?
Yes, sir.
Just how huge are they?
They're massive. I can't even tell.
All right. We'll have the link to his deck in the show notes.
Yes, sir.
Next up, we're going to finish this very odd pilgrimage with a... well, essentially, we're going to do a live brew. And this is something that's been I've been thinking about doing for a while now. We're actually going to build Marchesa, and I actually have a very particular theme for this. We're going to build Marchesa Infect. Stay tuned. Okay,
let me get this straight. When I jumped on this call, you told me that there were no segments, but yet you're leading into a segment.
It doesn't have our traditional segments.
You lied to me, sir.
So!
You hear it, listeners? William is a liar.
But I will not be spending eternity on this ship.
What?
Pirates of the Caribbean reference.
I missed it.
Because he was Bootstrap Bill and Bill Turner. And Davy Jones said he's
a... Shut up. One segment.
Okay, so second segment for today, we're actually going to do a live brew of a Marchesa Infect themed deck. This is actually a really nice idea, and this is an idea that I've been sitting on for a while now. This is something I've been tossing back and forth, thinking about different ways I'd like to build a Marchesa deck. And the reason I like Infect is because Marchesa's primary mechanic is Dethrone, and all your other creatures get Dethrone. So of course, once you take the lead with Dethrone, it's really, you just don't get any more triggers again. And with Marchesa, it feels like a lot of what you want to use are a lot of the really evasive guys. It's one of those Alpha Strike decks, right? Like, you go ahead and you get the beats on, but once you get ahead, then her ability doesn't really do a whole lot. Then you get beat down, then you try and beat up again. I don't know. The whole thing just feels really weird. But with Infect, you're never actually the one causing them to lose life when you're on the beatdown. So your Infect guys, which for the most part are really small and a little inefficient at times, actually get really big and can start being super aggro. With Marchesa, the super aggro wears off. With Infect, the super aggro stays on and keeps the pressure on because you're dealing with Infect. Not only that, but we're dealing with Grixis cards. So even though we don't get, like, the super sweet green Infect cards like Putrefax or Cistbearer, instead, we get a lot of really cool proliferate effects, like, Inexorable Tie. Whenever you cast a spell, proliferate. So whenever you're casting a spell, everyone's creeping up in the Infect. And JT here, he's going to help me out with that. Isn't that right, JT?
I would love to.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and just kind of start with the basics. I already slotted in 37 lands, because that's pretty much my baseline here. We've got the 13 islands, 12 mountains, 12 swamps. And if we find any cool utility lands, we'll just swap an alpha basis as we see appropriate. JT, do you agree with this method?
I think that's a fine method, sir.
Okay, and for the record, I do like using Cockatrice as the deck builder holder program list, just because it becomes really easy to swap cards in and out as you need. And it swaps them out by creature, enchantment, instant, land, sorcery, etc., etc. So it's actually a really cool way to go ahead and keep track of what you have and what you don't have in there yet. Okay, looking at our creatures, I went through and preemptively put in everything that had Infect. Looking at just all these, we have 22 creatures with Infect in our colors.
Is that including colorless?
Actually does not include colorless, Actually, let's go ahead and see if which artifact creatures have Infect aside from Ikormer.
I don't know. I think there's one maybe called Blightsteel Colossus.
Well, maybe.
You got Core Prowler. Where's the Core?
Let's see. He's perfect. Core Prowler is put into a graveyard from the battlefield. Proliferate. Oh, yeah, I like that a lot. Oh. Really synergistic with Marchesa's ability. Because of course,
Corpse Cur.
Let's see, Corpse Cur, when it enters the battlefield and they return target creature comfort from the grave. Yeah, that's another one. Oh. So it looks like the, well, let's remember that part of the appeal for Marchesa is that she helps give longevity to aggro by returning anything that died with a 1-1 counter on it back to the battlefield. So once these guys swing, they get a little bigger, and even if the opponent runs them into something, that thing now has -1/-1 counters, so it's now smaller, your guy's bigger, and with Marchesa already on the field, it's gonna come back at the end of the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Urkirk Clawmer turns into a 3-3 whenever it becomes blocked, which, okay, we'll toss him in for now. Put him into the possibility pile.
So this is, Marchesa, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The mechanic I want to mention is modular, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's basically from the Mirren block. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you pay mana for a creature, they get like a number of +1/+1 counters on them, I think, but a different color of mana that you use for.
No, you're thinking of Sunburst, actually.
No, that's Sunburst. Wait, what was Modulator? They just came in with +1 counters, right?
They come in with +1/+1 counters. When they die, you may move those counters to another artifact creature.
Ah. Oh, it has to be an artifact creature?
Yeah. Modular's a little sad. However, expounding on what Calvin said, there are... never mind, that's a green ability. Damn it! Why aren't you playing green?
Well, you know, if you are putting modular artifact creatures in there, they automatically show with +1/+1 counters. When they die, they have +1/+1 counters on them, so they automatically come back. And if you had another artifact creature, that creature just gets bigger.
Oh.
So, say you had, like, 2 modular creatures, you could pretty much willingly just swing with them. Or if you had, like, you're playing red, blue, and black, so you should have some type of sacrifice outlet.
Hang on, does it
sacrifice those?
Does it work that way in the rules though? Because it says when it dies, you put its +1/+1 counters on another creature. So would that be considered having gone to the graveyard with its counters? Because Marchesa says it has to go to the graveyard if it has a +1/+1 counter on it. I'm not sure if.
Well, hold on. Let me look at the modular quick. When it dies, you may put its 1/1 counters on target artifact creature. Yeah, that's fine because
It works with undying, right? Because when undying creatures have a +1/+1 counter on them, they die and they go to the graveyard.
But that's looking
at the +1 counters that they have.
But that's looking for the fact that they have counters. This one isn't looking for the counters. It's looking to get rid of them.
No, that works.
No,
like
but
think it
but Marchesa is looking for the counters.
Yes, Marchesa cares when the creature dies. Modulo cares when the creature dies. But when it's dying, it still has those counters.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that works the way we think it does.
Okay.
So the modular guys, so if it works the way I'm thinking it does, you have a, let's say you had a modular creature that's a 5/5 and you had another artifact creature that had modulated as a 3/3. 3/3 dies, you throw 5 counters onto the 5/5. Your 5/5 is now an 8/8 and you get your 3/3 back because it died with +1/+1 counters on it and it basically shows up there. So, if you put modular creatures in there and you put a creature, like, what was it, one of the creatures that has sacrifice a creature, you could use it to just continuously just pump up the other artifact creature.
That would be an infinite, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you could just sacrifice a creature, the creature would die, put 3 counters on the 5/5, it would come back in response. When it does return to the field, you could sacrifice another creature, put 3 more counters, and you could one-shot somebody with a single artifact guy. Unless, of course, they had some way to remove the other guy, like, half of exile or whatever the case may be.
William, how do you feel about infinites?
It's not where I want to take this deck in particular. That's definitely an interesting idea, and if someone wants to go ahead and try that, by all means, go ahead. But this deck wants to do.
Well, it might not be something that this deck particularly wants to do, but with it being an artifact creature and it only putting the counters on other artifact creatures, even if the modular creatures were there, at least Marchesa would bring them back. Your 5/5s could be used as attackers and free blockers, and they would die, and they'd just show up as just dudes.
Yep.
So even if you didn't just put the count, if you never played another artifact creature for them to put the counters on, Marchesa would still keep them there. So you still have it's basically you're getting like artifact versions of like Gravecrawler.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally legit. And actually, if you just slammed every card with Infect in your deck, you also have a series of instants, and I think there's one or two equipment that actually give a creature Infect. So, I mean, these guys aren't dead in the water, and you're swinging for regular damage when you're trying to go Infect. You could slap them with one of those and then, you know, come out with a surprise.
Is there an artifact creature that has Infect?
There are lots of them.
Yep.
Yeah, so if there's an artifact creature that has Infect, you could just put counters on that guy.
Right, right. But I'm saying, like, at you know, for the actual modular guy itself, you have a...
And the modular guys would be, you know, just extra bodies for when the infect guys don't get there.
Yeah, but putting in that extra little bit of, you know, synergy isn't a bad thing.
My argument is that I don't feel like we would be running enough artifact creatures to really make that a consistent combo.
Okay, then put Micah and Gladys in. Everything's an artifact.
It's not, I don't know that I would call it a combo, though. I would say it's synergy that it's, works well together.
Because potentially it could be a combo, but outside of actually it being like, you know, like, oh, look, I happen to have the hand that gave me this, this, or this, or tutoring where I found this and that, and I'm going to kill you within one shot.
Well, also on top
of that, it's just, you know, something nice that can happen and, you know, free bodies.
Well, also remember that Machessa's not going to bring that card back until the end of the turn.
Ah. Okay, oh, yeah, that's true. But she doesn't bring it back to the end of turn. Well, hey, okay. You could, at the end of turn, it's still perfectly fine. I mean, yeah, hey, not, you're not going not infinite with it, though. But you could still at least, it might not be infinite at that point, but you could still just kind of toss bodies around for a little bit.
Sure, right. if you got a sack outlet and, you know, a copy of Grave Pact or something on the field, that's a real easy way to control down your opponents.
Yeah, maybe, but I feel like we got...
Yeah, he's too busy thinking about infect. Okay, let's go back with infect. We're using infect and we're using poison, correct?
Yes. Well, what poison, what poison, old school poison, we actually have?
Old school poison?
I don't know if any of it's any good.
I don't think there's much. Yeah, I really don't think there's much.
There's a green sliver.
There's the green sliver from Future Sight, I believe that was. Is that? The one that, like, all slivers gain poisonous?
Let's see, there's Crypt Cobra, there's Pit Scorpion, but those don't scale with Marchesa.
No.
Like, I think we specifically need to use Infect with these guys, if we want.
Yeah. I think we can probably avoid the poison unless, or, you know, poisonous, yeah. Or the poison unless we really come across something special. But infect is where you're going to be getting your best value.
Yep. So adding in the artifact creatures that we grabbed, we have 28 creatures to potentially choose from. So we'll be able to make some cuts later.
Sure.
Okay. So proliferation is going to be a really big one for us.
Yep.
And just looking at a couple of the viable ones, obviously Contagion Clasp, and we've got Contagion Engine too.
Mm-hmm.
Throne of Geth might be one that we can consider. It's just sack an artifact, proliferate. So we can actually sack it to itself just to proliferate. Depends on how many artifacts we end up running.
Sure.
Let's see. Enchantments. Corrupted Conscience is always a good one. Glistening Oil is... Actually, what I like about Glistening Oil, at the beginning of your upkeep, put a -1/-1 counter on the enchanted creature. Marchesa just erases that. And when Glistening Oil is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, return it to its owner's hands.
Yeah.
So that's another one I like. Let's see. Inexorable Tide, like I said, whenever you cast a spell, proliferate. Phyrasis. Enchanted creature has infect. I'm trying to imagine if there's a situation where I'd want to put this on my opponent's stuff. Because all of our stuff already has infect.
Yeah, if you're playing, if you're going to be playing nothing but creatures that have infect by default on their body, then there's no point to run that other stuff.
Yeah, like Tanstrike, I can understand because people can swing at each other and that just gets the knockout for you. But Phyrasis here just doesn't make the cut if we don't have a whole lot of other... You would need a big concentration amount.
I don't know though. Right. I mean, you might get a surprise occasionally with Tainted Strike, but I don't know. I think something you gotta think about here, William, is the fact that you're sitting down to a table of commander with an infect deck. You're gonna have a target on your forehead.
That's true.
So, I mean, how often, when you're on the table, how often are your opponents really gonna be swinging out at other people, especially if they've already got a few infect counters and you're proliferating everything?
I think that depends. We'll leave it there for now, but we'll keep it on the short list of things to cut.
Sure.
The only other sword card I have see worthy with proliferate is Tezzeret's Gambit. Draw two cards, then proliferate.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, no, wait, that's not necessarily true, because there's Fuel for Cause, which is a 4-mana counter spell that proliferates.
Yep.
There's Grim Affliction, which is a -1/-1 counter on any creature, then proliferate.
Yep.
And then there's Steady Progress, which is just proliferate, then draw a card.
Yep.
Which normally I wouldn't be up for very small proliferate effects like that, but because we are playing infect, if we get just one thing on there, then every time we can tick up an infect counter means that they're one instant dying.
Yep.
And we can go ahead and proliferate three different people at once in a regular four-player game.
So, while you were going through that stuff, the search I did was to look not for proliferate, but things that will synergize with it, mostly in the realm of minus one counters on creatures. So, obvious throw-in I'm seeing here, Black Sun Zenith. Again, Marchesa doesn't really care about that. She can get rid of those on your own creatures, and you can, even if you only BSZ for one or two for your X cost, you can then proliferate up and just murder all of your opponent's creatures. Carnifex Demon, he's actually pretty awesome. Comes into play with two -1/-1 counters on him, and then black remove a counter to put a -1/-1 counter on each other creature. See what else was I finding here. Corrupted Conscience. It's a mind control that gives it infect. I think you've already got that, though.
Yep.
Let's see. Have you thought about using persist effects?
Not yet. Let's go ahead and see what we have.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and refine that search so that we only get our persist.
Do you mean persist or do you mean undying?
Well, undying is okay, but persist, you can negate the -1/-1 counter with Marchesa's ability.
The problem is that a lot of the more powerful cards aren't going to be on the undying because R&D was so afraid of that ability.
Well, what was the artifact that had proliferate on it that you said that had to, you said it really is a sacrifice artifact?
Throne of Geth.
Yep.
So like if we decided to go with the more artifact heavy theme, that would be a card we would include.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that would give you a reason to play the modulator eyes because every turn you get a free reason to just sack something.
Fury-Stoke Giants.
Mm-hmm.
When Fury-Stoke Giant comes into play, other creatures you control gain tap. This creature deals 2 damage to target creature or player. So if you manage to get 5 of these little small guys and people think they have you just walled, you can just shoot someone out of the game.
Yep. Red's got other effects like that too, giving creatures you control tap deal a damage.
So let's see, what other cards do we have here with persist there? Help us out. Dog, remember spells. Play from a graveyard.
Kul'roth Knight. He's a 3/3 for 5 mana, black red. Flying, wither, and creatures your opponents control with counters on them can't attack or block.
I think I've heard of this card before. Yeah, Kul'roth Knight.
An uncommon. Wow.
Yeah, this was a card that I actually considered running in Olivia at one point. Because I would give her like the Fist of the Demigod.
Sorry, Necroskitter?
Necroskitter.
He's a 1/4 for 3 mana wither. Whenever a creature an opponent controls with a -1/-1 counter and it dies, you may return that card to the battlefield under your control.
That definitely works well with Black Sun Zenith, but I don't think it's something that we necessarily need to worry about, because we're giving... Oh! Okay, never mind. I misread that. Yeah! Necroskitter. I like that. So before we start looking at more sweet creatures, we need to give this deck some really solid support.
Uh-huh.
So we need to start looking at the interactivity. How are we going to deal with the stuff our opponents are doing?
Nicol Bolas.
That's right.
Nikki B. Planeswhacker.
Yeah, I love me some Nicol Bolas.
Nikki B.'s in your colors. You've got Cruel Ultimatum in your colors.
Is Cruel Ultimatum really something that we want, though? I mean, oh no, wait, it's Axe a Creature. Okay, there we go.
Sacks a creature and they discard 3 cards, I'd say that's worth it.
Yeah.
You refill your hand, get a creature back from your graveyard, and gain some life.
For some reason, I thought I did something else.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm going to take a quick look at Chaos Warp, because I think that one's actually gotten really expensive lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, $10.49, that's outside of the price range that we'd want for this. Because what I'm thinking is, we want to build something kind of like a budgety deck.
Sure. Infect is the way to go with that. Let me think. If you're running Sack... not a sack outlet, but like each player sacrifices a creature, that's, not really gonna hurt you as much as it'll hurt other people since you'll have ways to get your guys back. If you have to sacrifice a creature with a +1/+1 counter, you don't really care because they'll just bring it back at the end of the turn.
Okay, so are we thinking Barter and Blood?
Barter and Blood, there's the other one for 2 mana that's just a single creature.
Siphon Body?
No. Each player sacrifices a creature.
Are you talking about Innocent Blood?
Innocent Blood is one. There's another one that costs a colorless more that does the same thing.
Actually, Dictative Erebos would be pretty good. Because they have to block our guys, because they're going to keep getting bigger and they're going to keep dealing infect. That's a lot of pressure. But if they block it, then the creature dies and they lose another guy, which might as well just be the big thing that just got smaller. Actually, hold on. Is that good, though?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's good.
What's it called for one more mana? The one I just said a few minutes ago, you blew me off. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, and it's less color intensive, so it'll be a lot easier to cast on a budget style deck.
By the way, I was thinking about Cruel Edict, and I was wrong about it. It's just the one opponent.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Counterflux and Swansong are cards I like a lot. Counterflux because it's an uncounterable counterspell.
Mm-hmm.
Swansong because it's one mana for most relevant spells, and they're both super cheap to get.
Yeah.
For that matter, I actually really like Negate too as a budget option. It handles a lot of really big game-ending spells.
Sure. So, another thing I was looking at, I was looking at some, actually, I stumbled across this one because I was, donking around looking at just multicolor cards for Grixis, and I came across Grixis Charm. Which
Grixis Charm, isn't that one actually kind of, it does give a creature, actually, creatures
you control.
Yeah, multiple. Okay, that's
a potential win condition, and it's modal to give you other choices too. Yeah,
this might actually be one of the few decks where Grixis Charm is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because normally it's just, well, Grixis tends to be kind of control-y, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely the red portion of the card. I think with those charms, they always tried to do like a little flavor from each color.
Ogre Battle Driver. That guy becomes a, oh my god. They get 2-0 in haste whenever a creature enters your field. So, Iron Claw Mer drops, becomes a 3-1, swings, Martissa trigger, 4-2 Infector, that turns into a 6-4 Infector when they block it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Actually, haste effects are probably going to be important for the deck in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking something like Fervor.
How about Warstorm Surge?
Warstorm Surge. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player. I love it.
Oops.
You know what goes really good with Warstorm Surge?
What, Calvin?
Creatures with Modulator. I'm sorry, I'm going to stay on his Modulator kick for the remainder of this, because I'm listening to like the stuff that he's talking about for this deck, and I was like, you know, this would actually be kind of good if you put a Modulator in it.
Let's go ahead and look at the cards with Modulator. Okay, so we've got 12 cards with Modulator in them. Arcbound Bruiser is a Modulator 3 for 5. Eh. Arcbound Crusher is a Modulator 1 for 4. This is whenever another artifact enters the battlefield, put a 1-1 counter on Arcbound Crusher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could be talking to using Arcbound Crusher. I'll put that one in. We have Arcbound Fiend, which has fear, so it pretty much can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and black creatures. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may move a 1-1 counter from target creature onto Arcbound Fiend, Modulator 3.
So if Machessa gives a +1/+1 counter to a creature, you could move it onto your guy at the beginning of your upkeep.
Yeah, but they're all going to get counters anyway. And I'm not really sure what this guy's doing for us, other than just being a modular guy. Like, at least...
Just storing counters, mostly. But I mean, you're in playing.
I'd rather keep counters on.
There's gotta be a way to move counters around.
Well, yeah.
You can keep counters on people, I guess. You know, we don't need that guy.
Actually, we might end up looking at at some of the blue Simic cards. Let's see. Arcbound Lancer is a 7 modular 4 with first strike.
Eh.
Arcbound Overseer is an 8 mana modular 6. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a 1-1 counter on each creature with modular you control. Mm. That's not gonna help out our guys. Arcbound Ravager is the big one. Second artifact, put a 1-1 counter on him, and he has Modulo 1.
He's only worth $20.
Yeah, that's outside the price range anyway.
Arcbound Reclaimer is actually not bad.
Remove a 1-1 counter from Arcbound Reclaimer, put target artifact card from your graveyard on top of your library. Okay, there's one I can get behind. And he's only 92 cents on TCG Player.
Yep.
So, we're going to put the Reclaimer in. Arcbound Slith. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, put a 1-1 counter on it. Modular 1. Eh.
You can get in there.
Artbound Stainer, he is flying, he's a modular 1. Artbound Wanderer, modular with Sunburst, so at most he can be a 6 mana 3-3.
3-3, yeah.
Artbound Worker is a 1 mana 1. I thought there was one that lets you draw cards, though.
You're thinking of Sunburst, that's Etched Champion.
Okay, yeah. Actually, Etched Champion might not be bad.
Yeah, considering he says remove +1/+1 counters.
Remove 4/1 counters, target player draws 3 cards. Yeah, so you pay the maximum mana. He comes in as a 3 with 3/1/1 counters. He attacks, he instantly turns into a 4/4, and if they decide to block him with something that would kill him, you just pay the 1, sack him, and draw 3 cards.
Yeah, and if you have a little bit more than can do more.
Yeah, but since he comes in with +1/+1 counters on him, if they do block and kill him and Machessa's out, she just drags him back from the grave anyway, because he's got +1/+1 counters on him.
Yeah, you get him up to 5. You can sack him with a 1/1 counter left over and just get him back on the field. Oh, but then he ends with 0.
No, then he has 0 counters on. You have to leave him at least 1 counter when he dies. So you swing with him, and if he does get blocked, like you get him big, you swing with him. If he gets blocked, his ability, you can activate it, right? Like any turn. It's not one of those like tap things, is it?
Well, see, Sunburst requires you to have spent the mana for him to come into play. He's just going to come back into play as a 0/0 at the end of the turn.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't end up dying again.
He needs the mana. Never mind. He just showed up and died. But hey, if he showed up and died, you get 2 activations out of your grave pet.
That's true.
He dies, shows up, he's a 0/1, he gets a 0/0, dies. Grave pet. And if you had Machias out, Machias could save him, because he'll go to the graveyard as a 0/0, non-human, and come back with a 1/1, as a 1/1 counter.
Yep, problem with Machias now, how is that? He's pushing like 780. So yeah, he's definitely one of the first cards that you get once you actually have more money to spend on the deck, but eh.
What do you think about Sage of Hours?
Sage of Hours. This guy. Let's see. Well, goes well with the Tainted Strike. Let's see, but he requires at least 5 counters to activate. Martis is only giving him 1 a turn. We do have some decent proliferate stuff.
Oh, Taints are stricken.
I'll put him into the list. If we have enough proliferate, he might be worth it. Okay, so, let's see. I feel like we need to get back to some of our interactive answer stuff. We need graveyard hate, so Tormod's Crypt fills that very well.
Let's see.
Bajookabog takes up a lot.
That's another good thing. Yeah. Yeah, Bajookabog, obviously. Let's see, what's another thing that we could end up doing here as far as, like, you know, dealing with other people? We'll just, like, I could just assume that we have, like, some of the staple, like, counter spells in there, like, you know, Hinder and all that other stuff, right?
It depends on how expensive they are. Like, I'm going to look at Hinder. Hinder is 381. That's not bad.
Or even if Hinder isn't in it, we can always just go, like, there's going to be some counter spells in there, you know, some type of cancel.
Yeah, like I'll put
mana,
in. I'll put
at
in
the, at the very least mana leak.
I'll put in dissipate and dissolve. Those are both recent prints, and they're actually pretty decent for budget decks. Plus, we have counterflux, swanson, negate. I think we've got enough counter spells.
What about mutilate?
Mutilate. We don't really have enough. That's the one that gives all your opponent's creatures, neg one.
It gives all creatures -1 for each swamp you control, or I believe.
Okay, so.
And it counts your guys too, so it's kind of like a little miniature, like damnation if it's too big.
If a we're running a 3-color deck, so about half of our lands at most are going to be basics. Right now we have about 12 basics per color, so cutting that in half means we're only going to have about 6. Max value you get out of that is everything gets -6/-6 if you have all your swamps in play.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is that it could be useful against like token creatures. Like, you know, like small 1/1 guys. Mostly just something that you kind of have in there. And since all of your guys are getting +1/+1 counters one way or another anyway, they get a chance to have a better chance at surviving the mutilate. And even if they had +1/+1 counters on her, they do get -1 to death. Wouldn't Machessa bring them back anyhow? Because
she
even
would,
though they died, but they still had the +1/+1 counter on them, even though they're not currently at, even though they're currently at 0.
She would, but then we can go ahead and, with that kind of logic, we can just go ahead and run actual Wrath effects, like Extinguish All Hope and, Life's Finale.
Yeah, like I was saying, like we could put like other Wrath effects in there, but you don't want her to die. So if that's the case, you're gonna want to put something in there that's gonna keep her from dying to your Wrath effects.
Well, she has.
If she dies to her own effects,
she comes back.
She does.
Yeah.
I've got to read her again. Well, I'll do that later though.
Yeah. Whenever a creature you control with a 1/1 counter on it dies, return that card to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step, and she herself has dethroned.
So she would bring herself back as well. So if she has +1/+1, yeah, so if she catches herself, she would catch all the creatures that have +1 counters when a Wrath effect hit anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah, but you're not gonna go with Damnation because I'm guaranteeing that's more likely.
No.
That's more than $5.
So, Yeah, let's go with, like, so we'll go with the cards like Life's Finale.
Extinguish All Hope and Blasphemous Act.
Yep.
Sure.
What about All Is Dust? Is that under?
That's way over. That's like $25.
Never mind then. Ignore me.
It's 18 on TCG Players Mid.
18? Oh, I must have gone down to it. Or maybe I'm just way off. What do you think about Thraxamundar?
Thraxamundar. I think in a less dedicated, I think in a general, in a non-infect Marchesa deck, I think Thraxamundar is a really good card. In fact, if I build Marchesa and I don't go infect, Thraxamundar is going to be slammed in there, yeah. An infect deck, I don't know what he's really doing for it. Like, at least the modular guys, we have some synergy to buff up the infect artifact guys. Mm-hmm. Thraxamundar is just kind of by himself.
Sure.
What have you done for me lately?
I mean, we could put in Grafted Exoskeleton to help out our non-infect creatures.
But even if you put Grafted Exoskeleton in it, if your non-infect creatures had +1/+1 counters on them, and you use the equipped to take it off of them and equip something else with Grafted Exoskeleton to give it infect, Marchesa would still save them, correct?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Grafted Exoskeleton. Creature gains infect when you pay the mana to unequip it, or, like, you know, if it ever becomes unequipped from Grafted Exoskeleton, creature dies, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you get a creature with a +1/+1 counter on it. If something better or bigger shows up, you can always equip it to something else. That creature would die from Grafted Exoskeleton's effect, but Marchesa would save it and slap him back on the field.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, you could also use what was the, what's that card? The equipment that, where it brings the guy back as a black zombie.
Deathmantle.
Yep. You pay 4 when it dies, and then it comes, returns to the battlefield as a zombie or something.
Yep. With 2/2, and with +2/+2, and Intimidate. So let's see. We still really don't have a whole lot of kill cards. Like, I put Murder in.
Well,
there's Warstorm
Surge. Because that is the case they gave you.
See, I don't think you need kill cards, though. Not many. I mean, I honestly would be hard-pressed to even run one. Because if you think about it, besides your things that are giving things -1/-1 counters. So, like, you have a Black Sun Zenith. You roll it for 1 or 2. You can then just proliferate all of your guys' other, or all of your opponent's creatures into oblivion. And if they don't die, they become useless, you know, or nearly useless, you know? Just because of how weak they're getting.
Interesting. That is a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of effects in the deck, even though if they're a little bit more expensive, that will basically just scatterbomb everything. You know, you've got your, Contagion Engine that enters.
Yep.
You can do BSZ. You have a couple of mass remove spells, and you, again, don't really care because your stuff will just come back because of Marchesa's ability. There is a time and a place for targeted removal, but honestly, I think you could find better things to fit into those slots in your deck.
Hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead and try and find ways to go ahead and give the deck more gas then. Like, if we're playing super aggro, Marchesa's going to help out a lot by bringing them back. Something happens to Marchesa, or they get killed without the counters, then we need ways to just draw into more cards.
Well, you're in red, blue, and black. It doesn't really get much more card drawing than that. Blue gives you all the blue spells that you can draw. Red gives you those random, like, wheel effects, and black gives you cards for just, you know, some life or loss of resources. So
would you believe
that
Phyrexian Arena costs $8.87 mid price?
Yeah.
I can see that.
I would.
Underworld Connections. There we go. It's like Phyrexian Arena, only you can do it at will. I feel like the black draw spells are the ones that we're really going to want, because it's going to help ensure that Marchesa is always active. Someone in my meta built Marchesa deck. What ended up happening was, we actually got a little more greedy with Cannibalize in our life just so we wouldn't get those triggers.
How about Culling Dais? Culling Dais, I mean.
Culling Dais. Sacking creature, put a charge counter. Okay, I like Culling Dais.
Yeah, you can charge it up with proliferate effects, and for a single mana, you can pop it and draw those X cards.
Read the Bones is another one. Actually, I've really been liking Read the Bones lately. Smooths out your mana. If you don't like the next two draws, you just ship them away.
Disciple of Bolas.
Yeah, get some life in there.
Get a little bit of cards, get a little bit of life if you got something you can junk. And if it's got a counter on it, it just comes back. You could run Kozilek.
There's a 6/6 demon that has flying. It's comes in with, I believe, two minus one counters on it.
Carnifex demon.
Yep.
I must have not been paying too much attention.
You were sleeping.
My brain hurts. Ignore me.
Ignore me.
Ignore me.
Whose baby is this?
Okay, we've got ways to draw cards. We can deal with stuff on the stack. We have creature control rafts, and Marchesa does not give any cares. Okay, I think... And we're currently at 110 cards. So, if nothing else, we have a good skeleton here.
Yeah. Ready for some cuts.
Okay, so what would be some of the obvious cuts here? Actually, we have 38 creatures, so I feel like we can cut 10 of these lesser infect guys and be fine.
Sure. Junk some of the not-so-infect.
Okay, so I'm going to go through these creatures, and I'll ask you guys the A&A. Black Cleave Goblin.
Eh.
3 and a black, 2/1 haste infect.
No.
No.
Alright. Goodbye, Goblin. Blighted Agent. 1 blue, 1/1 unblockable infect.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd keep him.
Yeah.
Because it's unblockable, so.
Yeah, this guy gets played in modern a lot. With that infect. Okay, so. Chained Throat Seeker. 5 and a blue, 5/5 infect. Can't attack unless defending player is poisoned. Which, if we're playing this deck right, will have already happened. Swings as a 6/6 with Marchesa.
How much does it cost?
6.
That's expensive.
Put him in the maybe pile for now?
Put him in the maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll
come back. Because the main thing for me is, like, you know, he can only attack players that's already been poisoned. So unless you're able to hit somebody and put them, like, with a poison counter before, like if you get to a slow start and one of the other players puts up a decent wall, there could be an entire player in the group that you will never touch. Which means, like, once it gets down to you and him, this guy basically just says, well, until you touch him with some other poisonous guy, I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll put him in the maybe.
So put him in a maybe pile.
Okay, we'll come back.
You know, in case you happen to need more infect or poisonous on the end.
All right. Contagious Nim, 2 and a black for 2/2 infect. I feel like that's fine.
That's mediocre.
I mean, it's on curve, right? Like, you play him on turn 3, you play Marchesa turn 4, then he wins as a 3/3 infect. I mean, this is infect, so that's like a third of the way there.
Yeah, because, you know, he's 3/3. So yeah, it takes him 3 quick hits, and he could he still takes 4 because it would only be 3/6/9, so it still takes 4 turns for him to take one player out.
Yeah. Oh god, he can only kill someone in 4 turns.
I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm like, you know, as I'm thinking about like the infect, because you have to remember, like when you're playing infect and you're going at a group game, the amount of turns it takes you to take out a player has to be multiplied by 3. So 4, 8, 12. It's going to be 12 turns with him before you can kill the table.
Okay, we'll put him in the maybe pile.
That is considerably less turns than a lot of other creatures.
Yeah, it's less turns, but in the same token, it's like, by the time you take one person down or hit everybody else, it's like, okay, well, we're all now in range where he could technically one-shot anybody. Group
sure.
Up.
Okay, he's probably getting the chopping block when he comes back.
No, because I would say that he could probably make it in, because if you're playing him and you're playing other stuff that's giving out plus one counters, or you're doing other stuff to control your opponent's board one way or another, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to drop other people's guards long enough for him to be able to still get in there. And if you're playing equipment that's pumping his attack, like we were talking about with the artifact that gives infect and whatever, if we find a way to pump his attack, he could be able to, you know, people would think that you got 4 turns around, it's only 2. Boom, you're done.
Okay, so we'll come back to him. Core Prowler. 4 mana, 2/2 artifact creature, horror. When Prowler is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, proliferate. Snapkeep?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
Alright. Corpse Curse.
Because he's automatically going to be showing up with your plus one counter on him.
Okay, so. The next one is also another artifact creature, which I think is kind of important if we want to play the modular theme. 4 mana, 2/2. When he enters the battlefield, you may return target creature card with infect from your graveyard to your hand. Recursion. Keep.
Yep. If for some reason Marchesa isn't on the field, which is completely possible, it's a way to get something back that you want.
Alright, Fallen Ferromancer. 4 mana, 1/1, but but has pay one in red, tap, deals one damage to target creature or player. So it just shoots someone with infect. Or can snipe smaller things.
I don't know. I think you might be better off with effects that just give your other creatures that ability.
I think so, too.
I mean, I know you got that giant already, that giant with persist, so...
Oh, yeah, I love the persist giant.
I'm sure there are other curious effects like that.
Okay, so we're for sure cutting the Fallen Ferromancer. Goodbye, sir. Okay, Flensermite. 2 mana, 1/1, infect lifelink.
If it had some sort of evasion, I'd be happier, but it's
yeah,
okay.
I think this is actually the case where the lifelink is actually bad. Because you don't want to be at a higher life toll, and you're not taking their life tolls now.
Right.
Okay, that's cut. Flesh Eater Imp. Flying infect 2/2, for 4 mana. Sack a creature, he gets 1/1 until end of turn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a snap key.
Sack outlet, definitely.
Yep, and Marchesa, this guy's going to come right back. He just alpha strikes someone. Love it.
Yep.
Hand of the Predators. 3 and a black, 3/2, infect. Other creatures you control with infect get 1/1. Whenever you cast a creature spell with infect, target player gets a poison counter.
Yes. Beep.
So, yeah.
Because every time you cast an infect guy or a guy with infect, everybody automatically gets a counter.
Yep, goes pretty good with that corpse cur.
Wait, it says whenever you cast a guy with infect?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have to cast him, never mind.
Yep, but that means that our corpse cur gets a lot better.
Right, because you can recur them back to your hand, and then just go right ahead and cast them again.
Ichor.
Yeah, that's a snap key.
Ichor Rats. 1 black for 2/1. In fact, when Ichor Rats enters the battlefield, each player gets a poison counter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a snap key. You're playing.
And they're such adorable skeletal rats. Ichor Claw.
Yeah, but the best part is if you have a way to put a +1 counter on every time he comes back, Marchesa could probably just, you could just sack him. Everyone gets a -1, gets a counter. Sack him again, everyone gets a counter.
Sack it to the Flesh Eater Imp to pump up the Flesh Eater Imp. Sack,
it comes back.
Sack the Corpse Cur.
Yes.
Yeah. Corpse Cur also comes back. Yeah. Synergies. Ichor Claw Myrrh. Whenever Ichor Claw Myrrh becomes blocked, it's 2/2 into end of turn. It's a 2 mana 1/1.
Sure.
Whenever it becomes blocked, it gets 2/2 into end of turn. It's 2 mana 1/1. And it has an effect?
Yep.
Another one of the bonuses of playing, that's okay, of playing colorless, creatures is you're playing 3 colors, so you're never going to get stuck on mana and not be able to cast those guys.
Yep. That's actually going to be pretty important for an aggressive deck like this.
Yeah.
Necro Skirter, that's not in fact what we were talking about. It's pretty awesome. Ogre Menial. 3 and a red for a 0/4 in fact, but it has fire breathing.
4 mana?
Remember that thing we were talking about earlier when you were talking about the swamps?
Yeah. This guy gets the
card. Oh, remember that thing we were talking about earlier with Mutilate and you were talking about with the swamps?
Yes.
Yeah, same thing here, because he's now mountains instead.
Yep.
The biggest he'll get on basic lands is maybe 6. I'm pretty sure you can probably make them bigger with your other, dual color lands, but...
Yeah. Okay. Ogre Manel gets the cut.
You remember that thing we were talking about earlier where we just said that it's going to be hard to hit your colors in this deck?
All right. Next one is Petulant Soul Eater. He's an artifact creature insect. A 5 mana 3/3, but it says pay a Phyrexian black, he gains first strike until end of turn. Or no, not first strike, infect. So you actually have to pay 2 life to get him infect. But what I like about this guy is that he's helping to enable Marchesa.
How?
Because it's pay a Phyrexian mana, which means you can pay a black or pay 2 life. It says Marchesa triggers.
I see, because you could potentially lower your own life total enough to the point where you get Marchesa to trigger.
Yeah. You're not playing him because he's a 5 mana 3/3, but he's a 5 mana 3/3 that can have an effect that enables Marchesa's trigger.
Yeah, that's 5 mana though. I don't know. I think there's better ways to pay life.
Okay. That's fair.
You can always use Sadistic Sadist, I think that is. That new black card where you tap it, you pay a life, and it gets a +1/+1 counter.
Oh yeah, Sadistic Sadist might actually be good in this.
And that would be much better for you in this case than he would, because each one of his Phyrexian manas is 2 life, right?
Yeah.
Where the statistics say this, like, oh, your opponent is at 5, you're at 6, or you and your opponent are both at 5, you can bring yourself to 4. With this guy, you're gonna bring yourself down to, 1? His double black in his cost, right?
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, so it's like this sort of situations where you're gonna be, huh?
Well, the Soul Eater is an artifact creature, so it just costs 5.
No, but the effect that with the effect with the black mana for the activated for the Phyrexian mana.
Yeah, it's 1 for.
Is it double black?
No, it's just only one.
Yeah.
I think this guy gets cut.
Yeah, knock him out.
Yeah. We got other things that have, like, Phyrexian mana in it that you can use better than that.
Yeah, we can pour the mana into, like, card draw and stuff. Phyrexian Crusader. 1 black, 2/2 zombie knight. First strike, pro red, pro white, infect.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Calvin said. Phyrexian Juggernaut. 6 mana, 5/5, infect. Phyrexian Juggernaut attacks each turn if able. I think that's a keep.
Yeah, that's fun enough.
Especially... Yeah, especially if you do keep anything that puts other +1 counters on it. Because right. he attacks each turn, if able, he's a 5/5, he'll become a 6/6. If you attack next, that'll be a 7/7. If you count anything else that pumps him, he could probably hit for 1 and just knock someone out.
Phyrexian Vatmother. For 2 black, you get a 4/5 infector, but at the beginning of your upkeep, you get a poison counter.
Phyrexian Vatmother. At the beginning of your upkeep, you get a poison counter. It's a what now?
It's a 4/5, but doesn't have any evasion.
Hmm.
I'm liable to
unless you're playing Whisper Silk Cloak or something like that to try to, like, guarantee she'll be connecting. And I say no.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not into her either. So, next, we have Plague Myrrh. 2 mana, 1/1. Infect. Tap to add a colorless to your mana pool.
Sure.
I like it. Ramps mana and is an infect later.
Sure.
Plague Stinger. 1 black, 1/1 flying infect.
Yeah. It's got evasion.
It's got evasion. Gets there. Razor Swine. 2 red, first striking infect, 2/1.
First striking infect?
It's got first strike.
It's only 2/1 though. I don't know. He's not really gonna threaten anybody with more than 2 toughness because they'll still most likely be able to retaliate and kill him.
Potentially a 3/2.
Potentially
a 3/2. Like, you know, swinging might get a counter on it.
That's true, I guess.
I mean, they'll never
artifact,
be able to...
Right?
Yeah. No, it's a red guy. It's a 4.
Oh, never mind then.
I'd put him on the baby pile. Myself.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, he'll be near the spit roast. Reaper of Shieldred. 4 black for a 2/5 infector. Whenever a source deals damage to Reaper of Shieldred, that source's controller gets a poison counter. So they get poisoned if they block him. They get poisoned if they don't.
Yep. I like it.
Yes.
And because he's going to keep going, they just kind of have to block him. I love it. Scourge Servant. 3 mana. 4 black for a 3/3. It's pretty much a vanilla creature, so I'm saying no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Septic Rats. 1 black. Infect. Whenever Septic Rats attacks, if defending player is poisoned, it gets 1/1 until end of turn. So by itself, it could potentially swing for 3/3 if they're already poisoned.
Not the worst thing in the world.
Nah, and we're getting close to being able to just take out other stuff, too.
Yeah.
Skitherix, the Blight Dragon. Flying, infect, pay black, gains haste, pay double black, regenerate. Skills is in.
Yeah, is there any question about that?
Nope. You got the Thorming Bird here to help proliferate.
Hell yeah, keep it in.
Toxic Nim. 4/1, costs 4 black, infect, pay black, regenerate Toxic Nim.
How much do you have to pay to regenerate it?
1 black.
Oh. Yeah. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Nope. And it's automatically, and if you have Marchesa out, it's swinging for half of the lethal poison damage.
I like it.
Viral Drake. This is one I really like. 3 blue, flying, infect, 1/4. So it's a flying 1/4 for 4. But it says, 3 blue, proliferate.
Hell yeah.
That's it. And the last one is Whispering Spectre. 1 black, flying, infect. Whenever a Whispering Spectre deals combat damage to a player, you may sack it. If you do, that player discards a card for each poison counter they have.
Yeah, in a pinch.
The important thing is that a lot of the smaller ones have some sort of evasion, so they can get there.
Yeah.
Something that I just realized that we have not talked about at all, since we are playing blue, black, and red, and pretty much done with this section.
Yep.
We never even discussed the concept of putting in, like, creatures that are, like, clones or clone effects, so we can just be able to clone the current poison guys we have.
I feel like the problem with that, though, is that you're diluting how much infect you actually have, so you have less infect guys to actually have.
I think he's got enough with everything else. And it's like...
No, just like, I'm just saying, like, it's just like the concept of that. It's something like, oh man, this is a concept we never touched on. This probably would have been interesting to have, like, you know, went around at one point or another.
Well, I mean, you're talking about clone effects. Yeah. Everything is too expensive besides Phantasmal Image.
Yeah.
It's basically Phantasmal Image, and then after that, it's 4 mana and up. So you're using 4 mana to copy a 2 mana Infector?
Yeah. Yeah, we could use, what was it, Follow Footsteps?
5 mana enchantment.
Yeah, but, you know, it keeps churning them out.
If they survive. I mean, the point, one of the points of this deck is that we don't care if they die.
They might not survive.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say it'd be a waste, personally. One last little slew. I have 4 cards I pulled out just to consider. Dark Triumph. And these are the real winners, because these are cards you don't see too often. Dark Triumph. If you control a swamp, you may sacrifice a creature rather than pay its mana cost. It's a 5 mana instant in black. Creatures you control get +2/+0 until end of turn.
Ooh, spicy.
There's that one. You got Death Pit Offering, which is actually kind of hilarious since you could just bring back all your guys. 4 mana enchantment. When Death Pit Offering enters the battlefield, sacrifice all creatures you control. Creatures you control get +2/+2. It would take a turn. It'd have to survive a turn on the board, but you could just play that in your second main phase. Sack your guys, bring them back with Marchesa, and then hold out till the next turn and swing in.
Or even just drop it when you have an empty board and just start rebuilding from there.
Exactly. This one would require you to have some equipment or some effect that gives a creature infect, but Purphoros, Scout of the Forge.
Ooh.
Purphoros is actually the one that deals the damage to each opponent. So if he's got infect, he's dealing 2 infect poison counters to each opponent whenever you cast a creature.
Yep.
Or whatever creature ETBs, I should say.
Yep. That will require you to tailor the deck to be a little heavier on the red, personally. But if you manage to do it, ugh.
That'd be fun. And then this is the last one, and this one does require 2 red, but this is hilarious if you can pull it off. It's a card that I don't think I've ever seen anybody play before. Homura, Human Ascendant.
Homura!
Homura, yeah.
She who travels through time.
I don't know. It's not a woman, is it?
No, but it's the same name as the one from Monica.
Oh, okay. Homura, Human Ascendant can't block. He's a 4/4 for 6 mana. And when he's put into a graveyard from play, return it to the battlefield transformed. Or flipped, whatever. Turns into Homura's essence. Creatures you control get +2/+2, flying and fire breathing.
Yeah, there we go. That's a big one.
So, you know, you throw him out there, you use a sack outlet to dump him, and then all of your guys have evasion and are bigger.
Okay, I think we've got this.
And it's $1.
That's a crime. I used to get blown up by that card so much. Okay, so we've come up with a very rough beta version of this deck. I'll go ahead and load it on tapdot.net and put it in the show notes. Okay, so I guess that we come to the end of the show. If you managed to stay through all that, congratulations, you have lived.
You sir have won the internet.
Yeah.
I leveled up.
I apologize to anyone who was expecting a higher tier quality show or an actual show. Things just kind of fell apart, so I just, well, you gotta work with what you have. And what I happened to have was JT here, who is pretty awesome. Thanks for doing this, JT.
No problem.
And Calvin, who randomly showed up partway through the call.
Yeah, I'm here. Floating around.
No, if Calvin had been there like 20 minutes before, we could have just recorded the Planeswalker episode.
Eh, screw you, buddy.
Alright, so we'll try and do the Super Friends episode next week. Contact information, I guess. JT, if people want to reach you, how can they do that?
They can get me on, I guess, on CommanderCast pretty soon here, once I get my article posted. They'll be able to hit me up if you want to email me. I'll have my email in the show notes. And I also have, well, it's not really a way to contact me, but I've got my other web show I do, Animerica, which I'll have a link in the show notes as well. If you're interested in anime, we do anime reviews, and it's a lot of fun.
And Calvin, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
If people are looking for me, they can always go over to Twitter, @CaptainRedZone. If you're looking for me on Facebook, it's Calvin Russell over there. Actually, no, it's CaptainRedZone over there, too. I lied. You can email me, CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. And that's basically it.
All right, and as for CommanderCast, if you want to message CommanderCast, be sure to check out our Facebook page. You can also tweet us @CommanderCast or email us @CommanderCast@gmail.com. You can check out our Tumblr @CommanderCast.tumblr.com. Thanks to everyone who contributes to our website. You are all wonderful people. Seriously, who else would actually tolerate sitting here for like 2.5 hours doing nothing but just yapping about non-scheduled stuff?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are fantastic. Thanks. We actually have something to throw out there on Monday. Thanks to Judson and Calvin for manning our Facebook page. Music for our show is the X Meets Heavy Metal series by 331 E-Rock.
I don't know, that just fell over.
I think this was actually community strategy and technology.
Ish. Well, they
close
were called,
enough.
If they were there,
kind of.
If they were there, then it was between the lines. And I will trust our listeners to be smart enough to be able to find those hidden lines. But enough about that. I have to go ahead and take some stuff over to the new house before the night is over, so I will talk to you guys later.
Later, dude.
Say later, Willie.
We'll see you next week with more community strategy and technology. You know, actual community strategy and technology. Until then, let's get it!
Remember me. Give you a nickel if you know what that's from.
You have to repeat it because I wasn't paying attention.
Remember me. The sound effect was fire shooting out.
I got nothing.
Alright. No nickel for you then.
Oh, damn.
The correct answer was Futurama.
Oh, that's right. That was the Bender Takes Over Not Egypt episode.
Yep. Thanks, Burr.
Your impression needed more animatronics.
I'm sorry.
Especially since it might devolve into one of us bitching for 20 minutes.
That would be awesome.
It'd be awesome, but wouldn't necessarily be good for the listeners.
Sure.
Like me, I love the pre-release packs, because then I'm guaranteed at least one bomb. Like,
yeah.
It is so horrible to go into a pre-release and be like, well, okay, I guess I open like 5 lands I can play in Commander, but just like one corner case enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is one of the worst feelings, and that's...
I understand.
Alright, we'll dub this episode 158, and we'll... And Calvin, if you're listening at this point, which I'm pretty sure you have and been wondering what the hell we're talking about, just know that this is kind of the backup plan to not having enough people.
Hooray! Not good enough!
Okay, so we need...
We're mediocre! Where's Calvin?
Calvin's got classes on Thursday.
Lame.
Yeah. Well, he wants the tooth. So, you ready for this?
No.
Exactly.
Give me 30 seconds to throw my cat in my room so she doesn't meow while we're recording, and then just gonna grab my deck so they're within reaching distance.
Fantastic.
Un momento.
Okay, let's go ahead and start.
Precious, you get to get locked up. Come here, cat.
Okay, so Marchesa... Oh, no, damn. Conspiracy! Why are you not on MagicCards.info? For those listening at home, my usual way that I build decks is I just go ahead and bring up the cockatrice, put in the general, plug in the lands, and then just start hashing stuff in.
Okay, I'm back.
And Conspiracy isn't on cockatrice either.
What the hell?
I don't know. All the Magic card databases have gone AWOL with Conspiracy and M15.
Yeah, magiccards.info is my go-to. I don't know why it's being so slow. Unstoppable. So, what was that?
Remember how we were just having problems looking up Conspiracy?
Yeah.
It looks like it just now got added.
Nice.
Like, holy crap!
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Please continue.
Yeah, 7:47 p.m. Central Standard Time. We now have Conspiracy.
The recorder stopped! No! The recorder started a new one!
Oh, it's not going to overwrite it, is it?
No, it's going to make a whole new file. I'm going to make sure that we have the original one.
Okay. I was going to say, oh no.
Okay, so, yeah. We have the first part of that that we just did, and now we have this brand new one, now that Calvin's here.
What's up, Calvin?
So, what's going on with this?
So what's going on with this is that because I didn't feel like we had enough content between the two of us to do an episode going over the Super Friends archetype, I decided that we were going to go ahead and kind of throw something together on the fly that was Commander Cast, but not necessarily your standard Commander Cast, more like Commander Cast Special Edition or something like that.
Ooh, the Commander Cast Chef's Special.
I just put it as Commander Talk. But sure, Commander yeah. Cup? But yeah, Chef Special. If you have better names, let's go ahead and throw them out there. Like Chef Special sounds okay.
Commander Cast Fruitcake? How about that?
Nah. I think the unspoken rule is that it has to have something to do with a magic card.
Fruitcake Elemental.
There we go.
How about the Caracas Lounge?
How about not?
Aw. It's Bandit Commander anyway.
Right. How's about Commander Cass? It takes more than two to tango?
Kelvin's Ivory Tower of Passion?
Yeah, it's more like an Ebony Tower, but I'll accept it.
Sorry.
Alright. Well,
home tight.
I tried to mute myself, but it came on too fast.
That's what she said. But
ooh, how about Commander Cast Collective Voyage?
I like that.
I was looking at the cards in my deck, and Collective Voyage is pretty.
I like that. It's a collective. We're voyaging through the decks. We're going to go on a journey.
That's cool.
I like that. I'm the host. I'm leading you on this little tour guide, showing you around the sites. And over here we have the JT deck. Notice how the Edric perfectly enables the complete shenanigans of this massive group hug. Just let it hug you. Feel the warmth.
I don't know if I want to be hugged by Edric. And I had this in Feldergriff, I might let it hug me, because he looks like he's like, you know, got a little bit more cushion.
And to your left, you will see the magnanimous and very mysterious Marchesa. See how she is still developing. Well, that sounded really bad.
I like the Collective Voyage, though. So we'll call this Commander Cast a Collective Voyage Edition or something like that, or maybe we'll just call it Collective Voyage 1.
Commander Cast, where's the beef?
Why not both?
I'm gonna, I don't even know. I'll just let Calvin sort that out when he goes to do notes and stuff. He's the one who actually has to edit this, so if he could decide that he wants to call this its own show, then use like brand new intro music or get some sort of special cut, I'll let him decide.
Don't give Calvin that sort of power. He's gonna end up naming it Ashling's Pilgrimage or something.
Oh my god, that is brilliant! I love it for doing that!
Shit.
And a beautiful part about it is, I didn't even have to say it.
And to your right, you'll see an Ashling deck with 99 mountains in it.
Very good. Wow.
As she grazes upon the life points of her opponents.
You see, if I wanted to keep around a Ashling 99 mountains deck, I think I would go out of my way to make sure I tried to have at least one mountain from every set Magic ever had.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so this will be the pilot episode of Ashlyn's Pilgrimage.
Nice.
That's what you're calling it. Little does he know, it's still going up as Commander Cast episode 158. Ashlyn's Pilgrimage.
Despite the fact that we feature neither Ashlyn nor any sort of mono-red deck whatsoever.
Nope.
I don't know.
I have to use the bathroom real quick.
Alright, go ahead.
Grab this. And now that JT is gone, we're gonna quickly run down and talk about Planeswalkers. Yeah, but now I gotta come up with stuff, I gotta ask another question, I don't even know what most of the show is about, and you're not telling me anything.
Well, I told you what it was about. We talked to JT about his Edric deck, and now we're gonna live brew Marchesa Infect.
Sounds to me like you're going to lie. You're lying to me.
No, that's exactly what we're doing. Like, I'm putting in the contagious name now.
That's what you always say.
Yeah. Okay, so, how many times have I actually said that? How many times have I actually said we're putting in the contagious name now?
I don't know. But I'm not going to go through the archives to look for it either.
Make sure you run Blight Mamba.
Blight Mamba?
And Blight Widow.
Oh, that's right. Poison's a thing.
And Carrion Call.
Working on it.
And Cyst Bearer. You're in green, right?
This is Grixis.
Oh. Then continue to listen to what I'm saying. Glistener Elf. Infectious Horror. He has Infect in his name.
Skittles.
Infectious Host. Infectious Rage.
Even better. What was it? Don't forget about Taint Strike.
Yep, that just went in.
Taint Strike.
I think Ash has got that book lying around somewhere, actually.
You got a book of Taint Strike lying around somewhere.
Well, maybe not.
That sounds pretty sexy, actually.
I've learned more about your personal life than I'm willing to admit in this short period of time that we've known each other, William.
Okie doke.
Unfortunately, yeah, you're missing out on a couple of really good effects since you're not going green with this deck. That's a bummer.
Yeah, but you do have access to a lot of really cool proliferate stuff. Which I'm going to go ahead and search out now. Okay, and there's like 9 in there, which I'll be able to go through.
Yep.
Okay, so you ready for this, JT?
Yeah.
No one's ready for the Spanish Inquisition.
No one's also ready for the sudden Marchesa Infect Tainted Strike combo.
That's right, Marchesa's going to strike your taint, ladies and gentlemen. Watch yourself.
Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Because they striking all the taints out here?
Something like that. I think we can collectively agree that this is going to be a really hack-up job episode.
Well, I kind of figured that when I came in.
Yeah, see, we wouldn't have this problem.
When I came in, the first thing I heard was, oh, man, the recorder stopped. Oh, no, the recorder restarted up again. Immediately, I was like, yeah, this is going to be one of those.
Yeah, I need to find co-hosts. That's what I need to do. Find guests is great and all, but I need to find co-hosts. And maybe I put out the Twitter call. You want, Calvin? We need to have an episode that's just auditions for co-hosts. We'll call it the Great Co-hosts.
We?
What?
What do you mean, we?
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Oh, disc.
Oh.
Hi, my name is JT, and I wanna talk about magic.
Yeah.
I have commander decks. I have Player Marchese's deck. It has infected it.
Well, way to make me feel bad about an idea, JT.
Well, just lost my chance to be a co-host.
Yeah.
No, you're good. You're perfectly fine. That's a great audition.
Nailed it.
But seeing as how we are talking about, like, guests and stuff, I think next week I've arranged for you to have a guest on your show that you have yet to have on your show.
Really?
That I'm pretty sure you'd enjoy.
Really? So do I get to find out who it is?
Well, you will inevitably.
And now,
I just want to, you know, I'm just going to, like, you know, finalize everything first before I go ahead and say anything. I'm not the kind of person who's like, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da, you could do this and that. No, I'm not going to just, like, blatantly tell you you're going to get what you're going to get, especially if it's, like, you know, a lie.
Secrets and lies. Secrets and lies with you people.
He was gonna tell you that he got Owen Wilson.
Wow.
A very busy schedule, but...
So can I interview him about that Starsky and Hutch remake he did?
You can't. This is a magic podcast.
I'm not sure if this is a magic podcast anymore. Since I've gotten here, I have yet to talk about, I've talked about a single card.
Well, whose fault is that? You're the one that showed up and did nothing.
Like, it feels as though, like, you know, we're basically discussing, like, what was it? You know, this actually feels a lot like, damn it.
Off-color cast
now. Yeah.
This feels a lot like that we're building a Marchesa deck with Infect. Will, please take us away.
Okay, so...
ManaGas.com.